Welcome to this special edition of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. I've put together these Focus Extra shows, in addition to the regular weekly podcasts, in order to bring you all the conversations I recorded live at Focus on Imaging 2012. There's a lot to get through, so each recording will lead straight into the next. In this edition, I'm talking with Lowepro camera bags and cases, three-legged thing tripods, and LiveLink in-store card creator. As ever, you can check out all the show notes to this and all other shows at theactivephotographer.com. On the LiveLink stand here, I am with Luke Stutters, who's a technical operations manager at Card Creator. Luke, tell me what Card Creator is.
Sure. It's a way for you to make your own cards with your own photos and your own message on the outside and the inside in a shop, and it comes out while you wait in a couple of minutes.
Now, a lot of people, of course, when you're thinking about Christmas, birthdays, anniversaries, what have you, let's name names. We all know about Moonpig and that sort of thing. Not knocking them, they do a great service, but it's not for everyone. Let's be honest here, I know you guys because we are very local to one another, so I know
that's
what you guys...
used to be above me.
I used to live above your premises, there you go. but let's just talk about the... for those people that aren't as local as I am, the process of how this... We've got a system in front of us, how it actually works.
Sure. So what happens is you go in, you choose either an occasion or a theme. So you can do weddings cards, as well as Valentine's Day cards, Mother's Day coming up, you can do Mother's Day. You then can pick from a certain style of card, or jump in and choose your own design. There are cards on there which don't need your own photos, so you can just choose from existing designs, or you can have your whole photo on the card just as a front, or you can do a mix of the two, so you can have Happy Mother's Day on the front with a photo of your mum and your own message come out in 2 minutes' time.
So you guys are here, obviously... This is not something that your enthusiast photographer would have in his or her living room.
Absolutely
you
not.
You guys are here to talk to outlets that are providing this service.
That's completely true, but it's very much a photographer-driven product. Because we've been in the photo kiosk industry for a long time, we know what people who work with photos want in terms of how you work through on the screen, and anyone who's been into Boots or Asda to order photos knows that there are good photo kiosks and bad photo kiosks. So we've made the kind of experience as streamlined as possible. It's not a Photoshop in the store, not at all. It's a really easy way, a really fun way of making a card that's your own and just using your photos for something new.
And it actually, when you look at the interface that we've got here, you've got the usual slots for the memory cards and what have you. Mm-hmm. You've got a touch screen interface in front of us.
That's
it's
right.
Very bright, it's very colourful.
Yep.
And it's very simple. That I think is the key to the times that I've seen people in, you say, Boots or supermarkets, and the system build as being very simple, they still stumble over it. I think this looks very sort of clear cut in the way it
works. We've gone in a very different direction to your usual high street photo kiosk. We've used high def screen, we've got an iPad style touch screen, so it's actually toughened glass. When you touch it, it's very responsive, and the colours look great. You put your photos on it, your photos look good. You want to use your photos in this kind of machine.
And in terms of the cards, to get the end product, tell me a bit about this, because we've got a number of examples dotted around us here, and you've obviously got, it says at the bottom of the tray here, your card creation is here, so they obviously come out at the bottom there.
That's right.
Can you tell me the weight of the card?
Sure, so we're printing on 300 GSM card, which is the thickest we found that really kind of gets a good result. On the outside, we've got a photo style finish, it's on photo paper on the outside, mm-hmm. So the colours come out looking really good. We can also get a lot of detail on there. I mean, the printer says it does above 9,000 DPI,
wow.
Which I think is mostly marketing, but it really is very sharp, especially if you've got a nice photo that you want to print. The inside is not photo finished, so you can just just write on it with a normal biro, write your own message in, or choose from our own.
And presumably, when it comes to the customer, it's not like a lot of companies whereby you have to order X number.
Absolutely not. It's designed for somebody who wants to come in and make a card for their mum, for their sister, something, suppose they've had a new baby and you'd like to put your photo of a new baby on there, so they've got not only a card, but also something to keep for many years to come.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully that's given people a bit of an overview of this service and this product. For those that want to find out a little bit more, where should they go?
They need to go to www.cardcreator.co.uk. It's cardcreator, all one word, .co.uk. It's brand new and it's coming to you now.
Lovely. I'll be linking to that in the show notes, of course. Luke, thank you very much for your time. And I gather it's your birthday today.
It is my birthday.
Marvellous.
Happy birthday to me.
And
not
ironically,
quite 30,
I didn't send
there.
You a card.
Now there's, well, you can make one right
I
now.
I might have to do that. I'll take your picture and then make a card. Lovely. Luke, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jazz.
Once again, I have the absolute pleasure, and I have to say that because he gave me funny looks, of being with Tim Sadler, who's category manager for bags and cases, with Damon, who handle Lowepro. Now, we have in front of us a selection of bags, which Tim wants to show me, and I'm just going to let him go ahead because he's a nice chap, and there are some really exciting developments here. Some of these bags are having their official launch here at Focus this year, but others have already seen the light of day at other expos at various places, I think over in the States you were saying. So, Tim, what are we looking at?
Okay, well, this year at Focus, we have five new product ranges I want to show you. As you can see, our stands opened up a lot more, so we're able to show real three different directions for Lowepro this year. Outdoor being a very key driver for us, but also the urban kind of shoulder bag market and also studio location. So I want to show you five bags across those ranges. I'll start with the brand new small backpack called the Photo Traveller 150. Apologies for the spelling of Traveller. We are an American company, hence why it only has one L.
I'll let you off.
Yes, my father's a Latin teacher. He will shoot me. So what you have here is a entry-level backpack for that consumer who's just buying into a kit DSLR, maybe with one other accessory. It's the backpack which sells itself. You may have gone for a shoulder bag like a Nova 160, but ultimately what you got here is the same sort of idea with a backpack. So as you open it up, you'll see the standard Velcro interior, but it's not a complicated setup. In the front pocket, we do have a little section for tablet and any other non-camera accessories. But what you will notice about a backpack like this is, in the past, if you remember things like the Micro Trekker, which were our small backpacks a fair few years ago, they sat really high on the back. They sat up there really high, so it looked like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. What we've done is we've changed the cut of the shoulder strap, so it sits much lower on the back and a smaller the back, a lot more comfortable, a lot more durable. A product like that, it's a good entry-level backpack for that person getting into DSLR photography. You're looking at around about £45, a really good price point entry. Photo Traveller 150.
And I must just say, and I do hark on about this rather a lot, it never ceases to amaze me. People will spend hundreds, thousands of pounds on kit, and we probably said the same thing last year, but it is true every year. Guys, if you are spending money on your cameras, don't just chuck it in a rucksack with no padding. Okay, put your fleece around it, but believe me, I've had my own experiences of having cameras, lenses get damaged by doing that. £44 odd, whatever, is not a lot to protect your camera.
I mean, we have a current conversation at the moment, as you know, as people question our pricing, as you quite rightly say, people try and go for the cheapest possible bag. And sometimes they go into a store and they spend 3 hours choosing a camera and 3 seconds choosing a bag. Well, that bag needs to protect your kit. And also, if you think about the cost of a bag, 45 quid doesn't even fill your car with petrol.
And for those that don't know, the guarantees that you put behind your product is...
We have a lifetime manufacturer's guarantee. So for the lifetime of the product for the original user, if there's any problem with the manufacturer, we'll cover it. But we're also a very nice and approachable company. You know, we're not a scary distributor who does nothing to do with the manufacturing process. I have people phoning me up who've got bags from 20 years ago where I try and work out a way of keeping them going. They want new padding and new inserts, so I send them out, I fix buckles and all those sort of things. Yeah. We make sure that our fans over the last 45 odd years are very happy.
And that's what you want. It's one thing buying the kit, but you want to know that any company, not just bags and what have you, any company is there to support you, you know, after you've spent your hard-earned money.
It's not just taking your money and letting you run away. You're part of the family when you buy a Lowepro bag.
Aren't you sweet?
Yeah, that's a nice audio hug for all of you people out there.
We'll keep that as a little soundbite for you.
Yes.
Put that on your emails.
Now,
okay.
Taking the idea of that sort of entry-level consumer, we often get asked for, we sell lots of bags like Nova 160, which is a standard square box-type bag. Amazing bag, been known for it for years. We wanted to pull that into more of a courier messenger-type shape. So we have the Event Messenger series, three sizes, the 100, the 150, and the 250. And what you see here is a very subtle aesthetic. Again, it's this mica colourway. It's not shouting out Lowepro, it's just a very tonal finish.
Yeah.
And on the inside, you'll see you've got that interior, so you can top load cameras. This is the 150, the middle size one. You've got space for a tablet in the back there, space for your non-camera parts at the front, and a nice durable shoulder strap. Again, a nice entry-level, courier-shaped shoulder bag. So just taking the new silhouette for an old demographic.
But I do like the fact that you're incorporating space for tablets now.
It's definitely I don't like to use the word buzzword, but it is. You know, we've understood, we've listened to our consumers, and I think a lot of people have cottoned on to the fact they don't need to carry their huge laptop around to particularly show a portfolio or keep in contact with the world.
Yeah. No, you're quite right. What we've got here, we just actually got one of Tim's colleagues trying to take these bags away. I mean, this is terrible.
Yes, well, we're very popular.
There we go. But yeah, it's again, nice and simple. One of the things I like about you guys, you don't mess around with fancy colours, fancy stitching. I know that your buckles, your zips are very well made. I've used your stuff for many, many years, and I can honestly say they've never let me down. But you keep it honest to the whole point of what it's about.
Well, I mean, yeah, we don't follow fads. I mean, I think one of the major jokes we have is that we had a high contrast interior 15 years ago.
Was that the blue one?
Yeah, the blue ones. We didn't like it.
No.
It was rubbish.
I remember seeing those on the original photo tracker.
Yeah, Super Trickers and Photo Trackers had them on there. So we've done high contrast interiors. Instead, we've opted for the grey because that's what consumers wanted.
Yeah.
They didn't want to be blinded when they open a bag. Some of our bags do have some greens and stuff like that in there, but they match the demographic. One last thing on the Event Messengers, you will see that we have Velcro closures which do have silencers. So you can have the option of having Velcro, or you can silence them off.
That's really clever.
Which, again, listening to our consumers, sometimes if they're in an environment they don't want to draw attention to themselves, they're not drawing attention to themselves. That's the Event Messenger, three sizes.
Excellent.
Okay, new for the show, available today. Then moving in to a new pro category for us, the Pro Messenger bag. So you probably remember the range called the Classified series for us. It was a very popular range for us, but we wanted to take it to the next level. What you're looking at here is not a canvas bag. This is woven polyester. It took us a very long time to develop this material.
Wow.
It's unique to us, but because it's a woven polyester, it's a man-made fabric. It means it's much more durable, much more weather resistant, much more water resistant. And ultimately, after 3 months, it won't look like an old fishing bag.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So on a bag like this, you'll see it's not shouting out camera bag at all. There's no Lowepro logos on the front. The only Lowepro logo you'll see is a tonal stitch on the back.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a trolley sleeve. You've got pockets for spares and accessories, like a water bottle on the side. Real nice durable shoulder strap. I reckon it's the best one we've done, with a real nice grippy finish.
I like the way that you've got, how can I describe it, where the strap goes through the padded section. You've actually, a lot of bags have a very square cut off, and you've actually got it continuing round.
Yeah, because that square cut off digs into your shoulder.
Yeah.
So we did that. We've got the camera keeper strap there as well. So if you've got a camera strap over your shoulder, you clip it in there so it won't fall off.
Okay.
Now this is a unique, again, this is another patented Lowepro invention, the Flexi Flap, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what you've got here is, first of all, Velcro. Keeps it closed, secure, doesn't shout out camera bag when you're going to a city environment or in a tube or a bus. If you want that quiet environment, so you're in a wedding or an event, just fold it back and you have a magnet.
Oh, wow. That's
so
really
it's
good.
Silent, completely silent.
Yeah.
The third stage of the flap is you can fold it all the way back and you've got just direction open.
Yeah.
Now what we've tried to do with our new range is not to be so dictatorial with how you load a bag. So on a bag like this is the middle size Pro Messenger. This is the 180. There's also a 160, slightly smaller, and a 200, which is the larger brother. You have the option of loading it however you want. The front pocket there will take a Pro body. The main pocket here will take a Pro body with or a body with grip, like a 5D Mark III. It's got a depth for a 70-200 2.8. You've got space for speed lights at the side there, keep them aside. But you, as a photographer, can choose how you configure this bag.
That's really good.
So say, for example, you're going to an event where, you know what, you're going to set up your cameras when you get there. You just need to get your kit to the event. You could drop your pro body in the front there, load all your glass in the back, and you've got everything in there. Then when you get to the event, drop your pro body out, start doing hot swapping lenses. You're at a wedding or an event. It looks really, really good.
And I think, you know, certainly myself and a lot of the listeners will have been in that position where you do kind of throw your cameras into your bag quickly, but you're always aware that it's not the best way to be dealing with it.
No.
So you've obviously you've listened to people, but to have that, you know, the body separate to one side, the lenses separate, and just to have those sleeves for the flash down the side.
Absolutely. Just gives you lots of options. Mm. You're not tied into doing those things. If you just want to top load a camera or side load a camera, you can rip these up and just drop it in old school style. You can do whatever you want. We're trying not to dictate how people use the bags. So that's the Pro Messenger series. That's being shown here for the first time in Europe. It's going to be available to the market a little bit after Focus.
That's brilliant.
But a real nice top of the range Pro bag.
And actually, if you saw that in a high street shop alongside other fashion bags, shall we say, it wouldn't look out of place.
No, it is appealing to a new aesthetic. It's a classic silhouette, but it is trying not to be a camera bag. You know, you could have £30,000 worth of kit in that bag, and it looks like a bag you'll buy in the high street.
Lovely.
Okay? Albeit a very, very good bag.
Yeah.
Okay, stepping up a bit now. As you know, we've shown in previous discussions things like the LoPro Pro Trekkers. So you're obviously aware of the history of those bags. Mm-hmm. And that Expedition bag we're famous for. We own that bit of the market. We own most of the market, to be fair, with our designs. But you know, we're known for that large Expedition backpack. Currently, the Pro Trekker 600 is the biggest camera backpack you can commercially buy. And it's, you know, and it does everything. You can get to the Antarctic, get to the rainforest and everything.
Oh, it's just looking at that, actually. It's been a while since I kind of saw one in the flesh as well. And it is a beast
of
a camera.
It's huge.
It really is.
But you know what? That isn't the bag some people want. It's maybe it's an aspirational bag. Mm. You know, the 1DX is an aspirational camera, but people might buy into a 7D.
Yeah.
What we do at LoPro is we look at all the different types of consumers and understand what their pain points are. And sometimes we don't need all those features. Mm. So we have the Flipside 500 AW. This is an addition to the Flipside line, and it's that entry-level nature, sports, and events large volume bag. So much like the Flipsides you've seen in the past, you've got a pocket at the front for non-camera items, again with a tablet called out. Mm-hmm. You've got a tripod mount, which will take a relatively good-sized tripod or a monopod AW cover. And being a Flipside, it has that rear opening, which along with security, allows you to maximize the depth of that bag.
Wow.
So this bag is designed to take a 500mm f4 lens, mm-hmm. or any other lens you want to throw it. Now, a very popular lens, and it shows again, is that Sigma 150-500. Superb entry-level sports and events lens, a nature lens. That fits in here perfectly with a, say, a 5D Mark II with a battery grip, selection of other accessories, and a price point which people really can enjoy. It's £150 or thereabouts in the market, which if you consider a Pro Trekker is about £270. That really does open up a big volume bag to those people who are just entering into that arena.
And also, one of the things that I've always liked with LoPro as a company, going back to when, you know, when Greg Lowe started out to do his thing looking at rucksacks, just, you know, for trekking, you guys actually put proper padding on your hip straps.
I mean, you're an outdoors man, you know these things, you know about the benefits of a waist belt. It pains me when I see people cutting them off. You know, if you fit a backpack correctly, you can actually generate or transfer 70% of the weight through your hips. We're bipedal. Evolution sorted that one out. We're not designed to take weight on our shoulders. So as much weight as you can transfer through your hip, the best thing. So here I am wearing the Flipside 500. I've got everything done up snug. I've got the sternum strap across my chest because that stops my shoulders from spreading. But you know the Flipside feature. You undo the sternum strap, slightly loosen the shoulders. As long as that waist belt is snug, you can bring the whole camera bag round and you have access on the go to change your lens, put a filter on, pick up your camera, put your camera away.
That's brilliant.
A real nice bag. And that's an entry-level bag.
But again, that's something that we've all tried doing, you know, to varying degrees of non-success over the years, but you have listened and created the solution. That's the whole point.
I mean, you know what it's like. When you deal at a company like this, we're not a distributor. We are the manufacturer. So input which you have, which your listeners have, which people on Twitter and on Facebook have, that all goes into the melting pot. We drive that through our design committees in America, and we generate products. So we listen. The Philips i500 was based on feedback from our people. We've had it for testing for 2 years with our pros in the UK and around the world, based on a launch in Vancouver at the Winter Olympics 2 years ago. So it's actually got a strong history, it took some development into it, now we're launching it to market and you can buy it at Focus on Imaging.
Because I remember last year you were saying that you had stuff in development that won't see the light of day for 2 years.
Yes, we actually had I was in San Francisco 3 weeks ago, and we actually looked at the timeline again, and we've worked out from the time it takes when we agree to something globally to it actually being purchased by a consumer is 2 years. And we always discuss, should we make it faster? No. We develop products. Yeah. We don't just send a drawing to a factory and then sell it to a consumer. We prototype, we test, continually test, retest. If we don't like it, we might go back to the drawing board. And, sometimes we come up with an absolute blinder, like the slingshot idea. You know, when the slingshot came out, people were like, nah, really? Yeah. Biggest selling bag in the world, and that, and people question why we do that. Without that continual innovation and development process, the next slingshot isn't going to happen. We're about the next slingshot, we're about the next pro trekker. And I'm going to show you something which is the next pro roller.
Okay.
The pro roller light. Now, we invented the pro rolling category some 15, 20 years ago. And we kind of blew everyone away when we brought out the Pro Roller X series, which, if you remember a couple of years ago, you can take the whole camera compartment, it's the impromptu backpack, it's got the tripod rig in it, and all that sort of stuff. Superb, award-winning range. But feedback from our consumers from a certain amount of our consumers, is they want a streamlined version, an ultralight version, to somewhat limit the stress which you get at checking in when you go to the airlines. So we've got the Pro Roller Light. Two sizes, 150 and 250, and I'm showing you the 250 here. Now, this is impressive. So, brace yourself.
You should have provided me a seat.
Yes, I should have done, yes.
If maybe it's that good.
We'll sit down and a stiff drink. Now, as you know, the depth of a camera, be it with a battery grip or with a pro body depth, predetermines the depth of the bag. You then put on the depth of the actual handle, and you're, again, predetermining the depth of the bag. So what you do is you take the handle, and you actually make it go into the bag halfway down.
Right.
Because then what you've done is you've maximised the depth and minimise the size at the top of the bag. So on this bag here, which is the 250, you can get a pro body or a body with a battery grip at the top, a second one in there as well, and all your lenses and shorter accessories further down.
So how does this case vary from the standard pro roller then?
It's a lot narrower.
It is narrower
by the whole top, because you can get that pro body depth in it.
Yeah.
So we've got two sizes to the 250. It also has the laptop sleeve for a 15-inch laptop. But it just streamlines it, lines it up, means that for international travel, you're within regulations as much as we can hope to do.
So is this... I'm going to name names. Pelly. Okay.
Well, you're...
A lot of people know that I like Pelly cases. I just happen to have found that they work very well.
We all have our fetishes, yes.
Put that knife away. The one thing I will say with Pelly is they are pretty heavy.
Yes.
So if you're doing a lot of travelling and weight is an issue and you want that weight to basically be coming from the kit you're taking, not the casing that you're putting around it, it then becomes a bit of an issue. Now, obviously, it's a hard case. What you're using here is a reinforced, essentially sort of soft case.
Yes.
But without being soft.
It's not a hard case. So.
Is this the largest... How does this equate to being the maximum size for carry-on?
This is as close as we can get, because remember, there are no guidelines anymore. I've had discussions with BAA. Their guidelines they published 10 years ago have been universally ignored. So it is down to the airline. Remember, weight restrictions are very, very key. Some airlines are very generous and allow you to take a bag and a laptop bag, for example. Some are absolutely outrageous. What we try and do is to maximise the guidelines which are available. But it's always the consumer's responsibility to check with their airline first. But this is the 250, which is a pro body depth and takes your kit. We also have the 150, which is smaller, which will get onto the most flights because it is that smaller case and it has pro body depth. It won't take two bodies and it won't take a 15-inch laptop. But in that worst case scenario, you're taking a flight over to Paris, you need to take your 1D with a couple of lenses, we'll get it on the plane. Or we'll do our utmost to help you get it on the plane.
And what have you done for the wheels on this? Because that is always a bit of a sore point with people and how they function. I mean, we all know how they function, but how they get hold of grit and stop working.
We continually update our wheels, but what you have here is a removable wheel. So in previous incarnations of Pro Rollers, that wheel was actually encapsulated. So to replace them, you had to send them back to us, and we got our guys in the warehouse just to retrofit them, which was a bit of a pain process. Yeah. In dropping an Allen key on there and actually using a standard inline skate wheel, it means that you can not only take them off and put them in a pocket if you don't want to carry those into an airport lounge, but also, say for example, you've flown out to the Czech Republic to do a shoot, you can't find a low-pro dealer, you've knackered a wheel in transit, it you can go and get an inline skate wheel and bolt it straight on there. That's which brilliant. Does mean you can pimp it out as well.
You guys just think of everything.
We try and make the whole you know, an event like this, we try and listen to people's pain points, try and understand them, and then try and take that into our products.
And one thing I've just noticed, as I've got the underside facing me here, you've actually got a hardened plastic grip.
Yes.
Just at that point where if you wanted to lift it up, you've got a side handle, but to physically lift it so that it's flat, as it were, lengthwise.
Up into the air, it's up into the cabin. That's, you know, if you go with someone like EasyJet, a lot of their restrictions are, if you can pick it up, it goes on board.
Yeah.
And so it's about making it easy, making it slimline so it haven't got anything all rattling around on the top level, so it can go in and out of that that overhead locker, but also being able to pick up easy. So we're trying to put flat handles on it which you can grab on that impromptu grab.
And I've got to say also, not just with planes, I mean, I do a lot of work. If I'm going up into London, and I never drive into London, I have no desire to drive into London,
very
much aside from the cost. On the train, it's a direct route and what have you. Space is at a premium, and you don't want to be fussing around with trying to see how you can grapple with your cases to put them in.
Grab and go. Yeah. Grab and go. And also, if you think about it, say for example on a train, you're on a Virgin Pendolino and you put your luggage in the luggage rack, you know what it's like after five stops down. Everything's all together, everything's all muddled up. This is a slimline case, it's smooth, you'll be able to pull that bag out really easily.
Yeah. Well,
so that's five amazing products for you from Lowbro.
And they are, but I want to talk just to round things off. You knew this was coming.
Ah, the famous bag.
Right,
just,
okay.
Just out of curiosity.
There we go.
Yes.
That's what it's all about. Oh. Now then, Tim is just grabbing a couple of bags for me.
I have the bags with me.
Thank you very much. A few weeks ago, I get a message from this gentleman saying, I've got a bag which I think you and your listeners and visitors to the Active Photographer are going to love. Would you like to take a look at it? So, to be polite, of course, poor chap, I said yes. What we have here is what I think is the closest that I have known for a camera bag manufacturer to get to produce a bag which is as close to a regular rucksack as you can get. Now, what it is the Photosport range. I've got the Photosport 200AW, which I have been using extensively to the point where I didn't drive up here for the focus, I came on the train. I have one bag with me, which is this bag here.
That's all I like
and
to
it
hear.
Has a camera kit in it. It has a basic wash, you'll be pleased to know, a wash kit, change of clothes and everything. But the functionality is brilliant. And there is one particular feature which is especially good. So let's just round things off. I know it comes in a couple of sizes, essentially, but tell me what we've got here.
Okay, well, you summed it up perfectly there. This is, we switched things around when we looked at the design of this bag. Instead of making a camera bag, we made a bag that carries a camera. It subtly turns it around. So we went for the bag first and then worried about putting the camera into it. So we looked at top of the range outdoor bags and looked at those consumers to see what they were looking for. So you have a very lightweight and durable harness. And in this, I will be attacking those journalists who think that a harness with lots of padding is a good harness. A well-designed harness does not need lots of padding. If you buy a cheap rucksack, that has lots of padding on it because they can't design harnesses. So you'll see it's lycra covered, it's very slim line, it fits, it contours the shoulder and the torso. You have breathable channels, a nice molded piece of board in the back there. You've got a stiffener bar in there, so again, it provides a shape to the body. This is the 200 I'm showing you, the backpack version. So you do have the option of carrying a hydration bladder in there.
Which, I have to say, works well to carry a laptop in there as well.
Not designed for, but definitely being used for. Yeah.
But not at the same time as a hydration pad,
no,
I have to say.
Wouldn't recommend
but,
it, sir.
But as I say, for something like this, I know there's enough padding that I've got my laptop in the back of that one.
Yep.
And it works very well. Yep. So
you've got that, you know, so you can run the tube straight out there. You have a lid pocket for, you know, keys, yeah. trail bar, whatever. You've got expandable side pockets. Now, I've got the Joby Focus big collapsible tripod, or even the Giotto's Vitruvian. I can drop them in the side there, or I can drop a water bottle in there if I'm not carrying a hydration bladder. You have an expanding pocket on the front for a guidebook or indeed a slimline windproof or a jacket.
Yeah.
You do have ice axe loops, which also take walking poles on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
You have a reinforced base with extra straps. So again, you could put a jacket or even a carry mat if you're doing a little bit of standard stuff.
And actually, there are a lot of people that listen to this who are... Their main pastime is the outdoors.
Yes.
They are lightweight backpackers.
Yes.
Lightweight tents are... packed down to no bigger than the width of this bag.
If you look at something like the Eastern Kilo, which is a stupidly small lightweight tent which was launched last year, that'll
just
fit easily on the back
there. Yeah, absolutely.
And in fact, one of the journalists over at Single Track magazine did a bivvy with this design for 3 days using a little bivvy bag, and they did everything out of this, shooting the article and carrying all his kit in a Photosport 200. As you open the top pocket, now this is something fundamental which is often overlooked. I know your listeners will understand this. No zip. It's a drawstring. And the benefits of a drawstring are you can overload it to your heart's content. You will never break a drawstring. I've never broken one in 20 years of carrying backpacks. It means you can stuff your jackets in there, stuff your stove, stuff your non-camera items. And you do have access to the whole depth of the bag as well. But when it comes to the camera compartment, we've been really quite clever with this. What we understood from our consumers, particularly the mountain bikers, the trail walkers, trail runners, is that they're not carrying a pro kit. We're being sensible. This is a go light and go fast range. So sorry 1DX users, sorry D4 users, this is not the bag for you. This is someone who is carrying a lightweight camera setup to get into the outdoors. They're going on bike, they're climbing, they're ice climbing this time of year. So we have a compartment there which will easily fit a 5D without a battery grip, a lens attached and another lens, maybe a Nifty 50 or something like that, or even a flash gun if you want to drop it in there. I don't know what kit you're holding in yours.
Right, okay, well this is where I'm going to have this conversation with you now on audio rather than speaking to you afterwards. I would like you please to design a version of this bag where the compartment is slightly bigger in this design that takes a D3 or D4, because in the way I have it set up, which is not, and I emphasize this, not the way it's designed, I typically go out with I have a little Aquapack pouch, and it has a point and shoot, like a Canon G-series camera, has my audio recorder, a fold down tripod. That goes in this section. I have spare batteries or a flash gun, what have you, in there. And my D3 sits in the top, still with padding around it. It's not ideal, but that I have been able to work that. But I appreciate this is not aimed at D3
Well,
users.
You know what? We're listening to you.
I hope so.
And as much as I can say, watch this space on an audio recorder, listen to this space. If that's a potential thing. So yes, we understand where you're coming from, but we start things with the Photosport.
Absolutely.
And we use that as a platform for development.
But it is just such a good development of bag technology. And again, a lot of people, I think I alluded to this at the start, it was Greg Lowe.
Yep.
Couldn't find the bag for his needs way back when. Was that in the 70s?
67 he started it at low mountain products, and then it was the first camera bag really was early 70s.
So right, the heritage goes right back there, but you can still see the development, you can still see the thought that goes into it. As I say, the way that I have it set up, if I am taking my D3, if I'm not taking my D3, I've got other camera bodies that don't have the big grips, and it fits perfectly. But as I say, to get a slightly adapted version,
watch, listen, as you know, this is a start for us.
Yeah.
This is direction we're going. Mm-hmm. We're bolstering all our ranges, so we're going to have. This is not. We don't just launch products once a year.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of exciting developments. I know we're being a bit greedy with having 5 product launches here, but. You need to hold fire because we've got a lot more. Remember, it's a Photokina year as well.
Yeah.
So we've got that big event coming up in September in Germany. But, this is what we do. We continually evolve products. And hopefully when I see you each year at an event like this, we're bringing something new to you. We listen to what people have said. And then 2 years later down the line, we're bringing it to market. Exciting people, just trying to give them something they've been waiting for. And I think the Photosport is that. That's what we're hearing from our consumers. Yeah.
And I know there's one little feature.
Want to show you the little photo cinch compartment here, just because obviously talking to those mountain bikers and those trail runners and trail walkers is that their cameras, they don't want them rattling around. The weakest part of a camera is particularly the interface between the lens and the body. So what we've built in here is pretty much a shoelace system. So within that camera compartment, once you've dropped your camera and accessories in there, you close it up, you pull that little drawstring, and it locks it in like a clamshell. And it just means that when you jump on your bike or you're climbing a particular route or doing a scramble, you know your camera isn't going to rattle around.
And I will just allude to an anecdote here. Some years ago, I used to do a lot of solo camping on the Isle of Wight via mountain bike power. So I used to sort of go across on the boat there, cycle across the island, what have you. And this one particular year, I thought, you know what, I can't be bothered to pack more kit nor a fit. So I thought, I'm just going to put my camera in a fleece, stuff some socks around it, all the usual things. When I get to the other end, and it was in a roll-top bag, pull the bag out, and there was this distinct kind of distinct rattling sounds. Really not sure.
A bit of interference?
Yeah, not sure what that is. But there was this rattling sound, and when I opened up the bag, it was actually, thankfully, the filter that was on the front of the lens that had smashed, not the front element of the lens.
There's a lesson there.
But after that, I've always thought I would rather take a bit of extra weight, you know, just to make sure that
things... It becomes a very expensive trip if you don't.
It certainly does. But again, guys, that's the Photosport 200 AW.
There is a sling version, the Photosport Sling 100 AW, which takes the same idea into a sling, so one strap, much like our Slingshot series. The only thing you're missing on that is a hydration pocket.
And also...
It's slightly smaller.
The Photosport 200 has the slightly padded waist belt.
You only have one sort of like one pocket there. And just, slightly smaller camera compartment, but essentially just a smaller version.
But again, it's what your needs are, you know... Lovely little bags. I think you really hit the nail on the head there. You know?
It's unfortunate it didn't launch at a Focus. It launched at the end of last summer. So certainly if your readers are listening to or watching single track stuff or MBR or MBUK, Trail Magazine, a lot of them are out for review of those sort of magazines. And a lot of the journalists who are writing and taking pictures for those are using the Photosport range now.
And from what I gather at the moment, they come in two colourways. You've got black or you've got this shock of orange, which is the one that I have got, which is, I think it's...
Shock of orange? Orange is low pro.
It's lovely. It's corporate colours, first and foremost, I realise.
There's nothing corporate about low pro.
No, of course not. With all your logos all down your arm there.
Yes. Yeah. So, I've got a tattoo, but I can't show you it.
Well, that's probably just as well. Tim, thank you very much. As always, joking aside, it is a pleasure to catch up with you because I know low pro as a company, you're always pushing the boundaries to listen to your customers. I appreciate that. It's nice. I hope for you guys listening, this has been a bit of a longer recording. We're actually just tipping the scales at over half an hour.
Whoops.
But I think it's important for you guys to you know, it's not all just about product placement. It's just listening to these guys to see how they are, their thought processes, and then tying that in with product launches at shows. So hopefully that's given you a bit of an idea of, you know, some of the new stuff that's out there. Of course, I'm going to be linking to this in the show notes. Tim, let's just run out a web address for people so that they can...
You can find out about all these products at lowpro.com. They'll all have sliders on there, so just go straight to their website and you'll find out all the information you need.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure.
We'll catch up again soon.
Brilliant, thanks.
Cheers. It's the end of my time at Focus, and it has taken me 3 days to catch up with these gentlemen in front of me. I have Dave Kaipiper, who is a photographer, and I have Dan Lenihan, who is here on the three-legged thing tripod stand. Now, Dave is what's your official capacity? You're an endorsee, or you just love their products?
I am indeed. These tripods are pretty amazing. First and foremost, for me, they look pretty, pretty, pretty cool.
They are something quite different to look at, aren't they?
They are pretty nice, yeah.
And the reason that sort of Danny, that I've sort of initially touched base with you at the start of the show was our mutual friend Larry Lobdell, who will be delighted that we've finally caught up with each other.
Yeah, because, I've told her we've met already. Yeah, she was excited.
Awesome. Now let's cut straight to the chase. A, because I've got a train to catch, and B, because you guys have got stuff to talk about as well. Let's talk about your product.
Sure.
For those people that don't know what three-legged thing is all about, let's have a lowdown of the product.
A very brief synopsis. Four of us hooked up a couple of years back, decided we got really fed up with making products, or we got fed up with finding other people's products and wondering why they hadn't done certain things, but there's such obvious things that could have been done to improve them. So rather than bitch and moan about it, we decided to, you know, put money where our mouth is, start putting pen to paper, started designing new products. And as photographers, we made the products work as we would like the products to work.
And one of the most immediate things with your products are they look different. They look, let's say, sexy, shall we?
Yeah.
You know,
it was one of the remits. It wasn't the most important thing. The most important thing was we had a functional and capable product that did things that other tripods just simply couldn't do. After that, we went, let's make it aesthetically pleasing, because tripod technology hasn't really moved on in the last 100 years. And let's be honest, you put 30 of our competitors' products in front of us and you wouldn't be able to tell one from the other.
No, quite right. And, I mean, what are the key features? Obviously, there are key features of tripods, but your particular units here, what are the key features that are the core of your design?
Most importantly, all of our tripods, as a standard issue, have a screw-off monopod. Mm-hmm. All of them have a removable centre column, so you can mount the plate or the head directly to the furniture, the tripod furniture. The centre columns are all reversible. The whole system's modular, so you can take components from one tripod, put it on another. They're designed so you can take them apart. If you use them in salt water, you can rinse them all down, dry them off, put them back together again. And we've got lots and lots of modular components that we're bringing out over the next year or so. Add-ons to it, different additional things that you can buy with it. So,
I mean, I can see sort of in front of us here, we've got one unit, one tripod set up. It's got a bag there to put your lens caps, your spare lenses, and sort of ballast.
It's actually a ballast bag. It's a
stone
bag.
Absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, us photographers, we're quite sort of, we'll adapt products and use them, what have you. The thing that stands out for me, of course, is colour is something that stands your tripods apart from others that are just grey, black, you know, very...
Well, actually, I mean, the colours is not an accident. We haven't just gone, let's bling it up. Black doesn't exist in nature. If you're a twitcher, if you're into nature photography, macro work, bird watching, any of that kind of stuff, you won't find black anywhere that appears in the natural environment. So what we've done is we've taken natural Pantones, the burnished gold, the blue, and the copper colours that you would see in a natural environment, and turned them to our advantage to make our products less obsequious when they're out in the field.
And Dave,
I'll bear with you two seconds, just because I've got customers stood behind us, and the guy wanted a question. Did you
want
to ask a question, sir?
I'm going to speak to Dave. Dave, as a photographer that uses these products, you know, it's all very well that the guy from the company will stand there and tell you how great they are. But let's be honest, as a photographer, me being a photographer myself, we have to think in terms of practicality, in terms of usability, right, in all sorts of conditions. For yourself, what is it that makes these tripods a good tool?
The size that they compact down to. I travel a lot, and I like to travel on planes a lot, and I take it's the size that the tripod actually can compact down to. These tripods actually kind of flip and reverse themselves, and if you see on the floor, they pack down. That's my phone ringing.
No worries.
That's what I thought. I could feel something in my
pocket. Live recordings, it happens. No worries.
There we go. Sorry about that. No, okay, right, yeah. These tripods, they're super light. They're carbon fibre. They pack down really, really lightly. With the fashion stuff that I tend to shoot, I'm not always using the camera on a tripod. If I'm in the studio, it's a nice home. It's a nice rest for it. But if I'm on location, I'm usually using these tripods as lighting with speed lights on. So they can compact down really, really nicely. They kind of flip on. You take the center column out, you turn it around, and you put it upside down, and they compact down very, very nicely. Practicality: I can put these in my low pro classified, so it can actually fit in my camera bag. It's a tripod that will fit in my camera bag. I don't have to take a case for it, although they you get the lovely armored cases, so I can pack everything down, including my tripod.
But it's interesting. I mean, we've all used our standard tripods for as lighting stands with speed lights and what have you. But it's interesting that you specifically, you know, have that in mind, that, you know, they are someone else's phone now.
Yeah.
That, you know, they are that compact that they are a real alternative to a traditional lighting stand that we
for
might
sure.
normally use.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, it's I used to use the Manfrotto tripods, and I'd use them as my camera tripods, but there's no way I would have taken one of those tripods and used it as a lighting stand. I can pack three of these tripods into my camera bag with my camera, with my speed lights, with the battery packs, and that's a full studio on the road. They're super light. They're really, really light. They are really, really practical, and they look pretty cool as well, as I said before.
It's always nice.
Absolutely. Well, I've got to rush off, unfortunately. It's taken me 3 days to catch up with you guys, which I'm very glad to have done. For those of you listening that haven't heard of this brand, they are something different. They are really kind of cool to look at and what have you. The web address for you to check out is www.threeleggedthing.com. Of course, I'm going to be linking to this in the show notes and so forth. Dave, give us a link to your own website so that people can check out your work.
It's www.davepiper.co.uk.
Excellent. And again, I've got your card here. I'm going to link to that in the show notes. So I know that Danny's busy selling hard to people at this last day of the show. I will acknowledge him on my way off. But for now, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. Behalf of Three Legged Thing as well. Thank
Cheers.
You very much.
Remember, you can check out all the show notes to this and other Focus on Imaging specials, as well as the regular weekly shows, at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter, at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, and I will speak to you all very soon.